Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Today we're beginning a brand new sermon series called The Genius of Jesus. When you hear the word genius, who comes to mind other than me? Why do you laugh? I'm just kidding. Who comes to mind when you think of the word genius? Or let me phrase it to you this way. What comes to mind when you think of the word genius? Or maybe ingenious, like the Post-it note. What an ingenious invention. I wish I thought of that. How about you? Put a little tape on a piece of paper. I would be a billionaire. Think about all the Post-it notes you left for your loved ones or your spouse. Be sure to dump the trash. The Post-it note has saved marriages. I love you, baby. Or has caused problems in marriages. Make sure you put away your clothes. What an ingenious invention. The person who thought of that was a genius. The Post-it note. I also think of an ingenious invention like duct tape. Where would we be without duct tape? I mean, duct tape is holding this world together. If you don't know how to fix it, just duct tape it. You have problems with your car, just duct tape it. Got a hole in your muffler? Just duct tape it. Plumbing? No problem. Duct tape it. How many are grateful for duct tape? I'm also grateful for the ingenuity of the person who invented the back scratcher. There's only a certain amount of times that my wife is willing to scratch my back. After that, I have a faithful and true companion who is there for me whenever I need her. That's okay, honey. You don't have to scratch it. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Thank God for the back scratcher. What about, have you guys heard most recently of the Scrub Daddy? It's like a little sponge you find at Home Depot or Walmart that's yellow smiley face, and they have like $1 billion worth of sales. Really? So ingenious. The little inventions that make a difference in our lives. But what about the bigger inventors or the larger inventions? When I think of a genius in past history, I can't help to think of the man, Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison developed many devices in fields such as electric power generation, mass communication, sound recording, motion pictures, and he invented the earliest versions of the light bulb, which revolutionized our world. Think about it. Light. Think about how the invention of the light bulb has changed how we live. Think about the invention of the motion picture camera, sound recordings. This guy was a genius, the genius of Thomas Edison. What about the genius of Benjamin Franklin? His ingenuity. He proved by flying a kite that lightning is electricity. And he invented a rod to tame it. He invented a clean burning stove called the Franklin stove. And thank God for those bifocal glasses, right? Those are just scratching the surface of things he invented. What about Nikola Tesla? Boy, I would love a Tesla. How about you? Now, some of y'all never knew that Tesla came from Tesla, but Tesla came from Tesla. But Tesla, this guy is just like a super genius. He's a scientist engineer that invented the AC current of electricity. Think about that. There were two types of currents when electricity was being invented. There was DC and AC, and many people were going with DC. The problem with DC is that it didn't travel very far. Until Tesla came and invented AC electricity, which was able to carry electricity across the United States, across the state, with one power plant, for example. AC electricity came from the invention of Nikola Tesla, who changed the world. Wow. Think about that. Just a few years ago, we can call it, in light of the age of the earth, electricity was brought worldwide and transformed how we live. Another great transformer of the world is Steve Jobs. Where would we be without Apple? Where would we be without my Apple Watch, our iPad, our iPhones, our MacBooks? He invented the personal Apple computer. Imagine that. He had it in his brain to invent the iCloud and all of those devices, the touch screens. What an incredible, ingenious person. Genius, the genius of Steve Jobs. But we also have a woman named Gladys West. You may not have heard of Gladys. Has anybody heard of Gladys West? She was a pioneer of the GPS. She was a mathematician. She worked for the naval, she worked for the Navy in the math department, engineer department for 42 years. And she was known as the human computer in the early days of computer programming. Check this out. You guys are still with me? She calculated the exact shape of the Earth, creating the geodetic model that became the basis for our GPS today. Thank God for Gladys West, because without her, we would all be lost. Am I right? Think about it. Thank God for Gladys. All you got to do is punch in the address. Remember back in the day, we used to say, yeah, go down the street at the bodega, turn, make a right. Go down there, you'll see a red house with a white fence. Make sure you don't pass that house. Back up if you did. If you see this tree, that's a little, you know, that's how we used to give directions back in the day. But thank God we just put it in and we just follow GPS. Last but not least, when I think of geniuses, I think of the man Albert Einstein, who developed two pillars of modern physics, the theory of relativity and quantum theory. Woo! He looks like a genius, doesn't he? That crazy hair. You know. Einstein revolutionized our understanding of the universe. He's best known for his equation E equals mc squared, right? Mass is the same as energy, just in different form, right? Different forms, the same. He helped us understand the world, creation, and the universe. These are just four or five geniuses that have transformed the world. There have been hundreds, if not thousands, of geniuses. Think about the geniuses throughout history, the inventions that we have benefited from. Think about the way these incredible thinkers were able to take their thoughts and their ideas and create something that was never imagined or created before. You see, what makes what's the difference between a smart person and a genius is that a smart person has a lot of smart ideas, but a genius knows how to create and make those ideas become a reality. Think of the invention of the automobile, and think of the different inventions throughout our world that have changed our world, that have changed not just our physical world, but have changed you and I as we continue to walk through life. However, there is a genius that is greater than any other genius that ever walked the planet. There is a genius of geniuses. And when you hear the genius of geniuses, what comes to your mind are these particular geniuses or other geniuses like Isaac Newton, who was able to help us understand engineering so that we can build these incredible buildings and bridges. Think of these geniuses that that Isaac Newton created calculus. Can you imagine that? Someone inventing, creating calculus? Like, what? I can't even say calculus right. Like, calculus? He invented calculus, which is the basis for engineering, which has helped us build the world. But when I think of these geniuses, I think to myself, who could be greater? Who could be smarter? Who could be like more wiser, more creative, more innovative? And I tend to believe that there's this genius who is greater than all other geniuses. He's overlooked because he didn't have an invention. He only lived for 33 years. He didn't create a cute gadget. He didn't create something that impacted our world physically. And he didn't create science in the sense of scientific components or formulas that help solve the world's problems. No, he didn't have a PhD. He didn't have a degree. He didn't have a title. He was just an ordinary dude. But he was a genius. And he was a genius of geniuses. And I believe that this genius tends to be overlooked because of what he did not have. But I truly believe that the genius of all geniuses was Jesus. Thank you, Steve Jobs. Don't you love Steve Jobs? Jesus is the genius of all geniuses. And you say, why, Pastor? Why is Jesus the greatest genius that ever lived? You guys still with me now? Don't lose focus, because we're going somewhere. Jesus is the genius of geniuses. He's the greatest genius that ever lived because he conceived and created Thomas Edison. Oof, he conceived and created the brain of Gladys West. He conceived and created Albert Einstein. He gave Nikola Tesla the mind and the thinking and the ability to process and to think and to create and to invent. He breathed life into every human being. He's the creator of the creators. He's the creator of the inventors. And what you see through the eyes and life of Steve Jobs, for example, the one who had the mind to create these devices that run the world, is just a little bitty reflection of the genius of Jesus. It's just a little reflection of the mind of God. Because Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. Thomas Edison might have created the light bulb, but Jesus created light, right? Benjamin Franklin discovered that lightning was electricity, but it was Jesus who sent the electricity, who created the lightning bolt. Tesla might have discovered the AC current, but it was Jesus who created the protons and the neutrons that make up the AC current. Steve Jobs created the Apple computer, but it was Jesus who created the brain. And scientists say we're just using a tiny little bit. The mind has so much potential. You see, in all of these creators, we see a reflection of the true genius of Jesus. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Then he created the heavens and the earth. When we look at the stars and the moon and the galaxies, we see the ingenuity of a Savior who created something out of nothing. Every inventor in this age needed something to create something. But God, in his infinite wisdom and his ingenuity, created the world, created you and me with nothing. Oh, I wish y'all were listening. I wish y'all were here. He created everything with nothing. Think about the sunsets and the sunrise. Think about the beauty of the mountains and the beauty of the beaches. Think about the beauty of the lakes and the beauty of the oceans. Think about as you travel the world and see the beauty of the world. That's just a little tidbit of the genius of Jesus. You see, John 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word is talking about Christ Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And say this with me, church, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. He is the true inventor of inventions. He is the true creator of creators. He is the true genius of all geniuses. It is Jesus. Without him, nothing is made that was made through him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, meaning the first and the last. He was and will always be in existence. He doesn't have a beginning, nor does he have an end. He continues to exist throughout eternity. Think about Jesus. Think about the genius, his ingenuity, his mind, his ability to create. Scripture tells us, John tells us the next verse, he says, in him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Church, we are in the darkness, and sometimes it is difficult for us to comprehend this light. Sometimes it's difficult to comprehend the questions of life. Sometimes we're looking for answers to the problems we face, the challenges that we live with. We're looking for truth. And we are seeking truth in the created rather than the creator. We are seeking answers to the problems of life from people in this world rather than the one who created the world. Oh, sure, there's plenty of smart people who have smart ideas and smart concepts, and some will be celebrated as geniuses because of what they accomplished. But Jesus, he is the genius of all. And if he created the world, then shouldn't he have the answers to the challenges and problems of questions of life? See, one of the most prevalent questions that most people ask as they journey through life, seeking purpose, seeking direction, is this question: are there many ways to heaven? You see, eternity is burned in all of our hearts. We are all created to live forever. One day, you will no longer be breathing on this planet, but you will exist in the next life. That's why we work so hard to feel young, to look young, to try to be buff and in shape, to paint our hair so that we can look younger and defy age. But my friends, age, you cannot defy age. Age will always win at the end. Am I right? I'm approaching 40 years old. You could tell in this church, if you've been here any long time, that I have a problem with age. Because I feel like I'm 29. How many still feel like they're 29 until you walk? Right. I've been kind of bouncing at the gym. I've been trying to go, been lazy. So I decided to do nothing too stressful. Just go to the elliptical, you know? Just elliptical. Should be nice and easy. Music's bumping. Just 30 minutes. Just boom, boom, boom. The next day I'm like, this never used to happen to me when I was 29. But now that I'm like 49, I know that's a shock for some of y'all. We try to defy our age. We try to live a long and healthy life. But there's a tissue that separates us from eternity. We're all one breath away. And although in our minds we think we're going to live forever, we're not going to live forever. And the reality is we will live forever, not in this world, but the world to come. Right? The world to come. So human beings have struggled throughout history to discover ways to exist after death or ways to get into heaven. And human beings have conjured up their own thoughts and have created their own religions. And some of you might ask, you know, why are there so many religions? Because human beings are creating their own ideas as to how to get to heaven. I was talking to a young man just this recently at a barber shop, and he was telling me, I says, hey, come to church with me. He says, I would one day, but I'm not quite sure if your religion is the right religion. I'm just struggling with truth. And I said, that's cool. I respect that. Yeah, I understand the search. We all have to go and search. But let me remind you that there is only one truth. There aren't many different truths. Just because there are many different religions does not mean that there are many different ways to heaven. So Jesus, in John chapter 14, he's with his disciples and he's sharing with his disciples a little bit as to he was preparing to go to heaven. He was preparing to leave. Actually, he was preparing to go to the cross. And his disciples were freaking out. And they were wondering, what's going to happen to you, Jesus? Why are you saying that you're going to die and go to a cross? They were thinking they were going to conquer and rule and reign with Jesus. And Jesus responded and he said to them, he was speaking to them, and he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that beautiful? Because in my Father's house there are many mansions. First of all, heaven is a real place created by the genius of Jesus. Now Jesus speaks to these disciples who are questioning where he's going. And Thomas, who represents us, we call him Doubting Thomas because he always had questions. He always doubted. And if you're here today and you don't really believe in heaven or hell or in Jesus and all this, that's cool. That's fine. We're all there at one point in our lives. Our church, I like to say, is a place where everyone can start their spiritual journey. You don't need a spiritual resume to come to this church. You don't need to have it all together. You don't have to have all the answers. That's why I'm here to help you navigate through this. So here's Doubting Thomas, and he says to Jesus, how do we know the way? And he said, Thomas, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Are you guys ready? I'm going to give you the guidance and direction. He says, Thomas, don't worry. This is the way. Now Jesus responded to Thomas's question with these words. Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I love that verse. Jesus could have stopped right there with the words, I am. Jesus is the I am. He is the I am of I ams. He is the way. And in this passage, Jesus breaks down this truth with a statement that is incredibly mind-blowing. See, the genius of Jesus is that his words are simplistic but not simple. His truths are uncomplicated, and that's what sometimes makes us misunderstand the teachings and the words of Jesus. But you have to understand something. The words of Jesus are what revolutionized this world. The words of Jesus is what's changed my life. The words of Jesus is what's changing our lives. His words are powerful. They are truth. And Jesus says to Thomas, Thomas, don't lose your focus, Thomas. Don't misunderstand, Thomas. Don't lose your way, Thomas. Just remember that when I'm not here, I am the way. Jesus said specifically, I am the way. He didn't say, I know the way. He said, he was the way. He didn't say, I'm going to give you directions to find your way. No, he said, I am the way. That word, I am, the phrase, I am the way, simply means I, myself, and only I am, comma, the way. That's what Jesus was communicating to Thomas. I am, I myself, and only I am the way. This is not about religion. All religions, every religion, will lead you away from Jesus, from God. Are you hearing me today? I understand the concept of religion. When we say religion, we mean spiritual things like church and so on and so forth. But religion doesn't get you into heaven. Good works doesn't get you into heaven. Right? We've created our own ideas of what gets us into heaven. I call it the Santa Claus theology. Right? Because as children ingrained into our minds and our hearts, you better not pout. You better not cry. Help me out here. I forgot. It's not Christmas season. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. You've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. The problem with that theology is that Jesus ain't Santa Claus. Right? He's a holy God. He's a perfect God. And he requires holiness and perfection. And scripture says all of our goodness is as filthy rags to God. You can't be good enough to get into heaven. Jesus said the only way to get to heaven is him. You see, Paul writes it in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No one else. No other religion, no other denomination, no other person can get you into heaven, including yourself. Your pastor can't get into heaven. Your grandma can't get you into heaven. Your mama can't get you into heaven. Your friends can't get you into heaven. Only Jesus can get you into heaven. He is the bridge. He is the one that leads us to the Father. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one goes to the Father except through him. Incredible. Incredible. See, what I've learned is that there are many ways to Jesus, but only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. He is the way. I'm so grateful for my GPS, who shows me the way. Aren't you grateful for your GPS? I use Waze. Anybody here use Waze? I love Waze. I love Waze for many reasons. I love Waze because she tells me when there's a pothole ahead. Love that. Pothole ahead, cool. She tells me when there's a car on the shoulder. She also tells me when there's like an accident ahead. But I love it because she tells me that there's a cop ahead too. Don't you love that? I'm sorry for all the officers who get mad. They get mad because of Waze, you know. They can't hide anymore. They can't hide. I just love that. Now, I'm not a speeder. Just sometimes I speed. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not a speeder, but sometimes I speed. It's not on purpose. It's just because I speed and I don't realize it. And sometimes, you know, Waze helps me. And I'm just so grateful for Waze. The thing about GPS is that back when I first used to use Waze, is I would put the address in, and she would tell me to get off this exit, and I felt like I knew more than her. And I'm like, she doesn't know where she's going. Like, I'm not going to get off this exit. I'm going to keep driving because I know how to get there myself. And so I ignore the command, get off in 300 feet. You're not from this area, Waze. I'm from this area. I know where I'm going. And then I keep driving, and I'm like, yeah, I'm saving time. Then all of a sudden, my time estimate of arrival, like, doubles. I'm like, what happened? It's because there was an accident. And it's backed up all the way. So Ruth and I, my wife and I now, remind ourselves that no matter what we feel or we think where we're going, we follow Waze. Because she knows the ways to get there. And this saved us recently. We were on 17. She told us to get off, like, what? 17 straight to Middletown. But I said, all right, we listened to Waze. We got off in Goshen. There was a traffic. And we're like, yes. And we're laughing at all the people. Y'all should have used Waze. Y'all should have used Waze. And, you know, I started thinking about Waze GPS. And started thinking that, you know, Jesus is the Waze to heaven. When you place your faith in Christ, you're giving him full control of your life. You're saying, Jesus, take the wheel, lead me, guide me, direct me. I understand where I want to go. I want to be where you are, and I'm going to follow your path and plan. Jesus, if I were to write this verse in John 14:6, I would say, Jesus said, I am the ways, the truth, and the life, because he is the ways to get us to heaven. Let's keep going. I'm running out of time here. So Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. He also said, I am the truth. Truth can only be found in God. There aren't multiple truths. For example, you might say today is Monday, and some of you might believe today is Saturday. You can believe and fight for that belief. No, today is Sunday. Today's Monday. Y'all are all wrong. And some of you might believe that person. But there's only one truth. And the truth is, today is Saturday, right? Today's Saturday. No, seriously. No, this is Saturday night service, right? What's today? Today's Saturday. I don't believe it's Sunday. Today ain't Sunday. Today's Saturday. I believe it's Saturday. I don't care what y'all think. I'm going to start a club that's going to say Saturday is today. That today is Saturday, right? How many are with me on the club? How many are going to join me? Today is Saturday, because Saturdays are better than Sundays. How many believe that? Come on. Who wants to join my club? Saturday, amen. Saturday, anybody else Saturday? I'm starting a movement. Let's call it a religion. Let's call it the Saturday. The Saturday Samaritans. Maybe we can cause a movement. The point is this. You can say whatever you want to say, but there's only one truth, and that truth is truth, and that truth can only be found in God. And today is Sunday, regardless of what day of the week you think it is. Y'all might have woke up and said, what time is it? It's what is it, 11, 12, 1? There's only one time. There's only one day. There's only one truth, and Jesus said, I am that truth. I am the truth. Truth can only be found in me. I embody truth. Truth is not something I know. Truth is who he is. He is the truth. And lastly, he is the life. Jesus proclaimed to be the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the one who gives life. Jesus is the one who produces life. Jesus is the one who breathes life into us. Jesus is the one who breathed life into our lungs at birth. Jesus is the one who breathes life into our spiritual lives. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, scripture says, Jesus said, he will live. Even though he dies, he will live. That is the genius of Jesus. That God loves us so much that whoever believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. And I don't mean physical death. We'll all experience physical death, but we will not die spiritually. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, as we wrap this up, Albert Einstein, towards the end of his life, was struggling to find what was called the theory of everything. He understood about matter and humanity and nature, and he was trying to figure all of this out because he said to himself that he believed that there was something that was keeping all of this together. He called it the theory of everything. To this day, there are scientists trying to find out what the theory of everything is. And could it be that the answer is right there before us? Could it be that Jesus is the theory of everything? Could it be that we've missed this point all along, that it is Jesus who holds the world in the palm of his hands? It is Jesus who keeps us from colliding with the sun. It is Jesus who's intricately involved in our lives. It is Jesus who's producing the oxygen for our lungs. It is Jesus who's keeping us and keeping our hearts pumping. Could it be that Jesus is the theory of everything? For Jesus is the beginning, he is the middle, and he is the end. He is everything. I love how Colossians, this last passage, hang with me a couple more minutes. This last passage, he says this. He says, he was supreme in the beginning, talking about Jesus, and leading the resurrection parade. Don't you love that? In a couple more weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to be having a resurrection parade here, celebrating Easter, right? He was the supreme in the beginning. And leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. Right? From beginning to the end, he's there. Where is he? He's there, towering far above what? Everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Come on, somebody, right? Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe and all the broken and dislocated pieces of people and things and animals and what? And atoms get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, all because of his blood that poured down from the cross. Jesus is the theory of everything. You say, well, Pastor, how are you so sure that Jesus is everything? How are you so sure that Jesus wasn't just the man, that Jesus' teachings are true? How do you know for sure that you know the truth? First of all, Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. But second of all, that's not enough for me. 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to a cross and was crucified for our sins. And he borrowed a tomb for 3 days. You say, how do I know that what Jesus says is true? Because on the third day, the stone began to shake, and the grave opened. And Jesus came out alive. How do I know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? I know it's because Jesus proved he was God, not just by dying, but resurrecting from the dead. Every other God and every other creator and every other inventor and every other religion led by every other religious figure is dead. Muhammad is dead. Gandhi is dead. Buddha is dead. But if you go to the grave of Jesus, you won't find him there. You won't. You know. And you know, there were so many eyewitnesses that saw it. You say, well, how do you know? You weren't there, you're right, but I know there are people there. Just like, how do you know George Washington existed? Y'all didn't see George Washington. Am I right? Like, who ever saw George Washington? People recorded what they saw. And do you know this true fact? I don't have time to break this down, but there is more evidence. Come on, somebody. There's more evidence in a court of law. Woo! There's more evidence in a court of law that Jesus rose from the dead than George Washington existed. It's true. I don't have time to break it down, but it's true. How do I know that Jesus is the way? How do I know that Jesus is the truth? How do I know that Jesus is the life? Because he's not dead. He's alive. He's living, and he's coming back. And not only is he's living in me. His life and his teachings have changed the world. So I leave you with this last question. Jesus is the theory of everything, but is Jesus your everything? Is Jesus your everything? Come on, somebody. Is Jesus your everything? Is Jesus what you live for? Paul said, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Is Christ in me? Is Christ above me? Is Christ beneath me? Is Christ on my left? Christ on my right? Christ in front of me? Christ behind me? Is Christ in my life working in me? I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Is Jesus your everything? Well, he's my something. No, he's a little thing. But Jesus wants to be your everything. How do you get to heaven when Jesus is your everything? You say, Pastor, how do I make Jesus my everything? I leave you with this last point. You make Jesus everything when you give Jesus everything. Everything. Say, Jesus, I give you everything. Can we stand? We don't normally end this way, but we're going to end this way. Can we stand? And if you want to surrender to Christ, maybe you're watching online, maybe you're here in house.